Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. It's presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone is in, and hope you're doing all right. Can dial us up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to join. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Hail Varsity. At Two Birds, One Stone. Decision day is Dylan Jordan is a horned frog. I am sorry about that. Don't shoot the messenger here. We'll have Greg Smith jump in. Coming up around 5:25, what's the latest on Matthew Polo-Mau, the defensive tackle, so plenty of recruiting. Where's Nebraska at as we get closer to signing day 2.0 for 2019? Greg Smith going to be with us in an hour and 15 minutes. 1 hour from now, it's Blackshirt Monday. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, will be with us. We'll get to his thoughts on the Super Bowl, Brady and Belichick and Sue and Zach Taylor and all that good stuff. Plenty of room for you this first hour with Nebraska basketball. I can't tell you what that was other than it was ugly. Your eyes hurt, your voice is tired, and you are spent. You're spent through your just being disgusted as a Nebraska basketball fan losing to Ohio State. Not just that you lost, but how you looked when you lost. Jay Moore's coming up in 15 minutes. He's a big basketball fan. He'll give us his take on Miles and company. And can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. You know, we do a lot of predictions on the show, and we look at how the team's vibing, right? And the Nebraska is just, the best way to put it, they are a roller coaster. And you've seen a lot of roller coaster teams at Nebraska the last 15 years. You've seen it with football. You've seen it with basketball. You've seen it with baseball. And this timeline is kind of revealing itself when it got thick, when it got real for Nebraska basketball. They go smack Indiana, and then they put a lot of eggs into the Michigan State basket. I get it, man. They're excellent. I know Purdue just beat them, but for the most part, Sparty's done a lot of work in the Big Ten and beyond, and they are phenomenal. They're a one seed. They're great. So losing that game the way you did, no shame. But Nebraska basketball, to me, you can't make it a one-game season. You've done too much already. You should have confidence in your ability based on what you've done in the non-conference and just how talented you are. Well, you go from Michigan State to Rutgers, and you get outplayed. You get outworked by Rutgers. Then you get called soft by your head coach last week. There's Monday to Saturday of just toxic, negative, what the hell's going to happen to this team? And I get it. And that's where the narrative shifted. That's where the fan base went. And then you have the Ohio State performance. Start out okay. You hit a couple of threes. But then it is just downhill in a negative way after that. You don't score the final, God, how many minutes was it? I don't know. You finish with 24 first half points. Mm-hmm. You have moments where you get back into it. Then Ohio State hits four straight threes on you. Guys aren't diving for loose balls. Cope goes out with his ACL early in the second half. Mm-hmm. And now it's turned into panic mode, desperation time. And there's been a lot of Nebraska basketball fans kind of waiting for this to happen. You are one, or you know the Nebraska basketball fan, that they're not Team Tim Miles, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not down with the coach. They don't think he's a good coach. They question what he does offensively. And there's just that segment of the population out there. There's also the section of people who just like Tim Miles because he's a good dude. He's funny. He's quirky. He wins the press conference every time he's in front of a camera, in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. And you've seen him get the team to the tournament already. You've also seen him come up short with teams that have giant branded E's on their back in the form of expectations. And I am seeing a team in Nebraska basketball right now. We'll hear from Tim Miles. That here's my amateur 12 hours of psychology and college diagnosis, Colton. This team thought they were hot bleep coming into the year.
Yep.
They were going to have a chip on their shoulder and an edge because, all right, we got hosed last year. We're going to come in and we'll show you. We have so much talent. We've been told how good we are. We have potentially three next level guys on the squad. We're a veteran team. Man, we were good last year. Mm-hmm. And they were. They were fine last year. But everyone's going to adjust to you. How do you adjust to everyone else who's ready for you this time? And Nebraska has not adjusted. The coaching has not adjusted. The players have not adjusted. And if things are going well, then they're fine. They're front runners. That's exactly what they are. They are front runners. And when they get out to a lead and things are smooth sailing, they can be as good as anybody in the country. When there's adversity, they do not handle it well. I don't think there's any faith that their coach is going to get them through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've tuned him out completely since he called them soft. It's one thing to be called soft. It's another thing to respond to that commentary. And they responded to being called soft by showing that they were soft.
Yep.
They are just absolutely getting outworked. They're getting outworked by Ohio State, who is desperate, man. You're talking five straight losses. You're talking Rutgers. And I know they just won at Penn State, but you can't get outworked. You can lose, and you can lose to better teams. But just to kind of watch the ball and not rebound, that's effort, that's intensity, that's want to. And these guys don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to do it anymore because they've hit some rough waters and it wasn't supposed to be like this. And, man, they want to win. They do. But there needs to be actions that follow up with how they feel. You got to actions are louder than words. Oh, we're upset after the Maryland game. Well, were you upset, or is that what you're supposed to say? I just don't know where this team's at. They don't have a leader. And if they did at all, it was Cope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you have him on the bench. And there's two things that can happen, maybe three things. This team continues to just turtle and not fight back and be soft. Wisconsin comes in tomorrow night. Great opportunity. I am not going to say to you that Nebraska is out of the NCAA tournament. I think the loss to Rutgers was a bubble thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ohio State is a team that you should probably beat at home, especially with the fact that they don't do much defensively and they held you to 60. That's awful. So, look, it's getting pretty steep for you, but you have opportunity. You're good enough. Can you do it without Copeland? I don't know. You have some missteps throughout the season with, okay, now it's January, almost February. Let's lean on the bench. Let's go to the bench. Let's ask the bench to help out because our guys are playing 1,000 minutes. Well, great. They should have been playing against the Southwest Minnesotas, or they should have been playing against some of these non-conference teams that are garbage that you're drilling by 25 in your sleep, and you're not – you didn't get them ready. That's coaching. All right? You're not letting them play through mistakes. That's coaching. You're not benching a guy, starter, or all Big Ten performer when he's in the midst of a personal streak of bad choices, i.e. shot selection. Okay? So that's on you. And I've been saying this for 10 days. You're either coaching it or letting it happen. All right? And all of a sudden, you can't go from casual and soft to angry and I'm going to show you when you're called soft. They did show him that they are soft. There was no fight. There was no desire. There was no want to. They didn't go after loose balls. They didn't make the hustle plays. And that will empty PBA every night of the week, man. that's something Nebraska basketball fans can't and won't put up with, is guys that just are kind of half-assing it. So, listen, all is not lost for Nebraska. There is Wisconsin, there is Maryland, there is Purdue. There's still Sparty in Michigan and Iowa, okay? There's still plenty of chances for you to get to 20 wins and be a top six team. Hey, 9 are supposed to go from this league. There is going to be opportunity. But from a mental state right now, and we'll hear from Coach Miles in a little bit, from a mental state, there's no one on this team right now to like challenge them and move forward. There's no one to step up, kind of clear the throat and go, we're better than this, let's do it. You've had chances here, okay? And you can't be shell-shocked after Michigan State beat you, and it can't fall into Rutgers, and it can't go into Ohio State. You can lose every night in this league. I believe that. But it comes down to how are you losing. I look at Thomas Allen, man, and I look how good he's been for a lot of this year, and I look at the last few games. Is he right now? Does he want more of a role? Does he want to be more of a vocal guy? Is he allowed to do that with guys like Glenn and James? And I'm not trying to create some sort of drama, Jersey Shore problem here, right, where someone ate the peanut butter and all hell's going to break loose, okay? I'm just talking about the different personalities on this team and who are your, like, leaders of casual play. Just look at the turnover numbers, all right? And with Nebraska basketball, this team's too good to be this way, and your leader up top needs to look in the mirror. And he is. He's stepping up and saying, yeah, it's my bad. I'm the head coach here. Good, but you've let them be casual from day one. There was not an edge to them. But instead, there's a giant pucker factor with these guys because they're freaked out. They want it without the risk of losing it. They're afraid to fail. And that's, I get that. Be afraid to fail, but don't be afraid to go after a rebound or box somebody out or play some defense or make the extra pass or finish at the rim. Dare I say, Nebraska at the rim, again, 4-for-12. Their last four games, they've been me at the rim. All right? They've been that bad. Let's go to the phones real quick before we get to some Tim Miles. John's with us on Hail Varsity. John, go ahead.
Yeah, it's great to hear somebody concise and get right to the point and sum it up in as few words as possible. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate listening to you talk about going to your son's game this weekend. That is great. My best memories are back when my parents took me. I was a swimmer to swimming, so I was young. But my thing is, I lost a lot of faith going back to Showergate. I just thought at that time something was not there.
When he locked him out of the locker room?
Yeah, you know. And, it just gave me some questions. And I think you hit it right. He is taking responsibility for what's going on. I talked to him for 8 minutes last Tuesday night.
I bet that was a highlight for both of you.
Yeah, and I was very respectful of him, and I said, you're the best recruiter we had. The university still hasn't set what they think the standard should be for Nebraska. I said, I think you're just like one of our other coaches. You're a great recruiter, but maybe you need to use your assistant coaches a little bit more. And I think he needs to be here. We're not going to find anybody else any better. We just need to work as a family to work through this. But I hear people saying it's time for him to go. I hear other reporters, radio people saying, well, they would have gotten so-and-so last year, but they couldn't get him. You know, I think we need to just focus on the players first and just hoping that this can be pulled around. I just can't see going through another 4 years with a different coach.
John, thanks for the phone call. With John, John's called here and other places, and I was kind of surprised to hear John say that, yeah, he thinks Tim should stay, because that's not usually the case when John picks up the phone and makes a phone call. We'll get to Tim Miles here in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll take another phone call here in a little bit. But, no, you're at your wit's end as a Nebraska basketball fan right now, because you've seen this movie before, and it was titled 2014-2015, when you've got a lot of talent back, and it just comes down to expectations. And with no leader in that locker room, it's going to be your head coach that pulls you through it. So there's got to be some serious talks. There's got to be a situation of you got to want to do it for yourself. Whether these guys are tuning miles out or not, they got to want to work hard, all right? And somewhere along the way, that's been lost. They have been getting dominated on the glass, okay? Because ever since Texas Tech, they have been soft in the paint. And you have a personality as a team, and you got to decide to stop getting punched in the face down low. And they just haven't. And now they're even weaker because Cope is gone with your rebounds and your upper-class leadership. And it's a mess, man. And I got no answer as to whether or not. Here's the thing about this basketball team. They are so roller coaster manic that they could get it together and win tomorrow night. Okay? Just like they did against Indiana. Just when you count them out is when they surprise you. But the way they're trending right now, there's a 10 spot going to be laid on them or more by Wisconsin tomorrow night. We'll see. We'll see if guys step up. We'll hear what Jay Moore's got to say. Thoughts from Tim Miles coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More on Nebraska basketball. We welcome in Blackshirt Husker NFL to talk some Super Bowl, some recruiting at Husker Hoops. Jay Moore's back with us at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Jay Bird, how was Mexico?
It was good. It rained quite a bit, to be honest. It rained almost every day we were there except for one, so that was kind of a bummer. But I tell you what, when it's 75 degrees and raining, it's still better than 20 degrees and blowing 40 miles an hour like it is today. So all in all, it was a good trip. Got to play golf only once because of the rain, but got to see a lot of family members and make some new friends and partake in a beautiful wedding. And it was a lot of fun, but back to real life and the real world today.
Yeah, and we'll start with basketball because it's very real right now for Nebraska basketball. And, you know, there's no shame in losing in the Big Ten, and it's understandable that you're going to lose some home games, but just the body language and the effort is what I think Nebraska basketball fans are sick of seeing a discombobulated offense, but they're more tired of seeing Nebraska get outworked on the glass, right? And I can hear about this team being tight. I can hear about this team wanting to be special. I can hear all this talk, but there's got to be some action. Losing Cope to the ACL sucks. He's awesome. He's a guy that has some heart. He does. But, I mean, the stage was set. How are you going to respond Saturday? You've had all week to get ready for it. You got called soft by your coach, and that can go one of two ways. And based on how the team looked and their effort on the glass, didn't look like they heard Coach Miles. What do you do next?
Man, it's tricky. They're on a very very slippery slope. And how we've seen Nebraska basketball when they've dealt with expectations, they don't deal with them very well. You see, case in point, I mean, you just got to go back a few years to the year after they made the big dance and had everyone back again. And they lay an egg. They had all these high expectations. You can call it what you want. You can call it pressure, but pressure is just how you perceive it. And they didn't handle it very well. Whether that's Miles, whether that was a team, it was a collective effort. No one handled it well. But you look at this year, and you look at the times they play well. There's movement. They shoot it well. There's effort. They get the 50-50 balls. They rebound well. But whenever they don't. They've struggled this year. It's my issue, and I'm sure it's a lot of everyone else out there. It always looks exactly the same. They don't move the ball. Effort's low. There's no hustle for loose balls. You know, there's no, the rebounding is atrocious. It always looks the same. You know, you can go back to, Texas Tech was their first kind of loss of the season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Texas Tech's a really good basketball team, but you kind of saw that lethargic, you know, struggled, you know, making jumpers, struggled getting to the hoop, struggled rebounding. You saw that. But that's kind of how it's looked all year. Like, it's, my issue is, why hasn't this been fixed? I think the majority of fans would have no problem losing a basketball game. They saw the effort. Sometimes the ball just doesn't go in the hoop. Just doesn't happen. Sometimes it just says you're not. You can't buy a bucket, but, you know, you can still pull up some stats and say, okay, they still rebounded decent. You know, they still did this. Or, you know, sometimes the other team just got hot and they just shoot really, really well and you just didn't have your stuff. You can accept that, but hard thing to accept is just the consistency of the losses. It always looks exactly the same. And it's just weird. It always looks to me like they're almost out there without a game plan. They're kind of just out there like a similar game plan you'd see going to Belmont Rec Center on a Wednesday night rec league. Guys just kind of show up and it's like, you know, we're a couple pick and rolls here. If that doesn't work, let's just chuck it up. That's what the frustrating part is. You have the lack of effort and lack of rebounding. Then you lose one of your best players. And I don't know how that's going to – it obviously doesn't benefit them all. Some people might be able to say, hey, you know, now it kind of forces, you know, Palmer and Roby and Watson and everyone else kind of step up. But now it kind of forces you to not guard one guy, in my opinion. Hopefully, you know, some guys off the bench can step up. But the bench play has been really bad in this stretch as well. So they are on a very, very slippery slope right now. Their backs are against the wall. And let's see what happens. I mean, you can still get this thing turned around and make the tournament, but it's not looking too good right now.
No, and you're just wondering how they're going to respond. You're just kind of waiting for something bad to happen, and it did against Rutgers, it did against Ohio State. You lost Cope, and now here comes the Badgers that are going to do what they do. And there's plenty of chances to fix it. You just don't believe that it will get fixed the way this team is. In their own way. Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44. It's where you follow him on Twitter. Jay, pretty big time Super Bowl coming up Sunday. Tom Brady's going for another championship. He's been there 8 times. He's trying for a 6th title. He's also trying to avoid a 4th Super Bowl loss. Belichick's incredible. Sue's on that line of scrimmage with the Rams. Your boy Zach Taylor, your roommate, your pal. His final game as a Ram before he heads to Cincy. Rex Burkhead, man, everyone's favorite. Rex is with New England. I know it's Monday, but how do you see this thing going out? Where are you leaning here advantage-wise?
Oh, man, I don't – if I go against my heart, I would lean the Patriots just because they are on – they're on a heater.
Yeah.
You know, the roulette table's hot, the blackjack table's hot for them right now. You wouldn't get up. Their offensive line is playing phenomenal. I still don't think they've given up a sack in the 2 playoff games that they've played. Now they might be going against their best defensive line they've faced all year, obviously with Aaron Donald and Sue and, the other casting crew they have. They're at the pick to kind of poison who they're going to, want to try to stop. They're going to try to eliminate Sue, you're going to eliminate Donald, so you kind of just pick your poison in that scenario. I look at it. I mean, this team's been to so many. It's just, that's the experience is there. It's just hard to pick against Brady and Belichick. Like I said, it just seems like they got, the Patriots have, they dig into something else that they find something to have a chip on their shoulder. And you saw it in the Chiefs game that, Edelman's yelling at Brady, telling him he's too old, and vice versa, that they aren't big enough, they aren't fast enough, they aren't strong enough, they aren't good enough. They got that chip on their shoulder right now. With Goff still being a really young quarterback, obviously he's performed very, very well so far, but, man, this is his first Super Bowl. But with that being said, I'm still – without my heart, still leaning Patriots. Obviously, I want the Rams to win because of Zach and all that stuff. But, looking at what can the Rams do, and it's straight up with that defense. It's straight up that front four. The Patriots have struggled before is because they flat out got after Tom Brady. Look at when, the Giants beat them in those couple years, those Giants front four, that D-line, I mean, Brady, he was scrambling, and that's the only way that I think the Rams can make this thing work is, you know, Sue and Donald and company, and, you know, they just get after them, and they break down the O-line, who has been playing very, very well. And then Goff has to, when he gets his opportunities, he has to be able to pick apart that Patriots defense, who is going to pick their opportunities to try to attack, but also kind of sit back and, you know, maybe just wait for Goff to make those mistakes that that a young quarterback will make in these scenarios. But I think it really comes down to the Rams D line versus the Patriots O line. I have to lean Patriots right now. I just would have to, just because of the history and how the role they've been on. I hope I'm wrong, to be honest. I want Zach to go out with the Super Bowl. I want Sue to get a Super Bowl. I tell you what, they're on an extreme heater right now, and I don't know. We'll see if those cards get cold for them or not, but I tell you what, they got that chip on their shoulder, and that's something they've been digging into, and that's hard to you know, ever lose that, and that's what makes them so great.
They'll have confidence and experience, and they'll take Donald away, and they'll take Gurley away, and they'll say beat us somewhere else, and we'll see. You're right. I mean, New England's just been phenomenal. Can't wait for Sunday. Jay, got a couple minutes left. It didn't work out for Nebraska. They were going after Dylan Jordan of Pittsburgh, Kansas, outside linebacker. He's off to TCU. Family down in the Fort Worth area. Nebraska and Coach Frost haven't lost too many kids in that Midwest region, right? I mean, especially a kid like Jordan in Pittsburgh, Kansas, a really good athlete, would have been nice off the edge. From a moving forward standpoint here, do you think Nebraska is going to be able to – I think they'll be able to coach up some guys to get after the quarterback, but from a recruiting standpoint, getting kids in – kind of the old Big 8, Big 12 region, is it more dicey to try and do that now? Just because, I mean, we're working on 10 years, man, since Nebraska's been in the Big 12 championship game. You're going into year 8 in the Big 10. Top of mind awareness is kind of where I'm going.
Yeah, obviously you'd like to get a kid like that, but you're kind of late in the game with him and having the family down there. I think if you can get your cupboard full of as many pass rushes as you can. That's how you make each other better. Iron sharpens iron, and you get a better opportunity to develop kids. That's one area where you just got to keep recruiting. You got to keep the focus on it. I think it's always going to be tough. Now that TCU wasn't really in the fold there for a long time, just because they were in. Were they on the WAC conference, I believe? Back in those times.
And, right, and then they jumped to the Big 12, and they really strengthened, right. Since right. everyone else moved out.
Patterson's done a hell of a job down there. You've just seen everyone's kind of stepped up their game. Those years that Texas was down a little bit, mm-hmm. You saw Baylor step up. You saw TCU step up. You're still battling Oklahoma. Oklahoma's still going to get your top kids. Texas is obviously back up there now. So they're going to keep getting them. It's just a battle now. I mean, I'll be interested to see what Kansas does with Les Miles in this region. We'll see what the new coach with K-State that came down from NDSU, what he's going to do recruiting-wise. It's tough. I mean, you see what Campbell's doing at Iowa State. Teams around this region have gotten better. Other than Kansas, in my mind, that's really struggling. I mean, obviously you see what Iowa's been able to do. I look at, what Missouri's doing now that they're in the SEC. They're getting a different type of player now. You got a battle. It's a bigger battle. We've talked before, last 10, 15 years, the landscape of college football has totally changed recruiting now, but it's tougher than ever to try to recruit in that Midwest. We just got to keep at it, keep battling. And we'll win our fair share of battles, but we're going to lose some too, because, there's a lot of good football around here.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay, thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Yep, you got it, Smitty.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Jay Moore. Great to have him back as we welcome you in on a Monday, Hail Varsity Radio. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Reminder about your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. Get signed up today when you meet and want to exceed those New Year's resolutions, Madonna Proactive can make that happen for you. Get signed up in January. The monthly rate is $39 a month for your first 6 months. And associate members, just $29 a month. Great cardio options, wonderful strength training, the aqua track, the indoor pool, the pickleball, the basketball courts, the upstairs track. It's awesome. And get there today with Madonna Proactive, 140 weekly group fitness classes, one for everyone. So check them out, 402-420-0000 or madonnaproactive.org. It's where you can log on and find out when you take that tour. Give them a shout. All right, more on Nebraska basketball. So, and you can chime in. We still have open phones here till 5. Charlie McBride's coming up in about 20 minutes. Greg Smith with recruiting. And wide open, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Back to this team and their lack of physicality. I mean, that is it. They're also afraid to fail. And that's a bad combination when you're not tough in the paint and you're afraid to screw it up. We've all been there. Maybe you've taken the old free throw with 3 seconds left, and you got to make them to force overtime. There are some monster moments and games. How do you approach it? Like, let's bring this on, man. Let's go do this thing. Or, oh my God, what happens if we lose? Are you not tough enough? And you know what your team is, okay? You know what your team is, and you know after Texas Tech what your team isn't, okay? And it's been kind of the same recipe against teams that are a little bit bigger, down low in the paint. And you have this death lineup now minus Cope, which is just awful. But you have to be tougher. And you know that from Texas Tech. You got to make your team tougher. You can't all of a sudden start having more physical practices. You're trying to fix the problem. I get it, but they're already too far gone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like parenting and messing with a teenager. You got to nip it in the bud early, or you've lost them at some point. You can't all of a sudden become the bad cop. Here's a curfew after you've had no curfew. And that's what you have here. So have you hit the panic button? Are you slamming it again? Have you broken the panic button as a Nebraska basketball fan? And I think you've moved on. You'll keep one eye on the Wisconsin game tomorrow night, but based on how that fan base was, I talked to people that were there. Again, I was on my way to see Junior and the mighty Lincoln Nets not get any wins on Saturday, but they came back ready to go Sunday. They responded the right way with toughness and interest, okay, on Sunday at the urging of their coaches and parents. So if you're a Nebraska basketball fan, are you checked out? Are you done? Or are you still going to kind of hang around a little bit, knowing that there's a lot of season left against teams and Nebraska can get right back in it? I don't know about you. I just don't feel like they'll be able to turn it around. And it's more than the Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. It's also the Rutgers game. And if they didn't respond to getting called out last week, now are they going to be really mad and go after it without a guy like Cope? Does this team rally and galvanize without Cope? I mean, it could be kind of a built-in excuse. So you don't make the tournament, Cope went down. Listen, man, as money as Cope is, this team was going to have a hell of a hard time beating Ohio State with him.
Yeah.
The way things were going on Saturday. So it's not good to lose Cope, but this team was going to be in a real dogfight to get it done. Here's Coach Miles. What's he seeing? This is after the ball game last night, or I should say Saturday night, and his bird's eye view here. What Coach Miles saw on Saturday?
One, right now it feels to me and looks to me like we just can't get out of our own way. I thought we looked like a frustrated team and a team that, you know, is just mentally not focused on, hey, let's play with great effort, let's play with great energy. And we've seen these guys play so well, but we can't brain freeze ourselves. I'd say something else, but it's, you know, and I think we all know what I'm talking about. We can't have that. And it just looks to me like that's what it is. I really, unless there's something undiagnosed right now that I don't know about, which I don't think that's the case.
So getting out of your own way, worried, not playing to your potential, worrying about the wrong result versus just going and playing. Mm-hmm. And this team, Colton, is so, they're so veteran that they should be able to handle this. They had a lot on their shoulders with margin for error or lack thereof a year ago, and they played really well. All right. But again, they were kind of out of nowhere where they could just kind of live in the moment and enjoy the ride. Now they got rent due, right? Everyone's expecting them to be tough. Everyone picked mm-hmm. them to be a top four team. Well, not everyone. Some brilliant guy actually picked them to be ninth in the league. And you've got history here with Miles as far as teams not living up to the hype. And maybe that's part of Miles. Maybe he's squeezing too hard with his kids. Because you've not heard anything negative or derogatory towards or at the team until last week. So is name-calling going to help? And if they agree, are they going to fix it or they are what they are? They'll be okay against the Indianas of the world that are softer than them. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to having to like just fight for some paint position, here's Coach Miles. More on that tight factor, the fact that Nebraska is, well, they're playing scared.
I think so. Yeah, I think we're like Isaiah said right away, we're just blowing opportunities, and I think they feel that way during the game. And, you know, we try to just get them on focus on doing, you know, the little things. But I think when you look at, for instance, it felt to me like three or four times at least. Now, this is just three or four times. Ball hits the rim. It's a thing. We got three guys, and we're just looking at the ball. You know, when you're looking and not acting, you know, how's it go? There's people that make things happen, and there's people that wonder what happened, right? And it looks to me like we wonder what happened. They want to be special. They want to go to the NCAA tournament. They want to do, you know, exceptional things.
They do, but it isn't going to just poof, magically happen. You have to want it. It won't just fall in your lap. You got to work for it. Should we squeeze Brian in? Let's try and get Brian in real quick here before we head to break. Brian, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead, man. Is he ready? Brian, go ahead, man.
Yes, please squeeze me in.
Go for it.
You know, maybe they just need Grant Wistrom to come in and give him a speech where the F-bomb is heavily used.
Oh, I think the F-bomb's been used the last 2 weeks.
You know, it's very, yeah, we need the diversity of the word.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Grant Wednesday, so I'll ask him.
Well, you give him my love, okay?
All right, Brian, thanks. So Brian's suggestion is more F-bombs, all right? More F-bombs all the time. That'll make things better. The Joe Pesci method of motivating and getting defensive rebounds.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. One final time this hour, Charlie McBride, 10 minutes away, Greg Smith at 525, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio. I think you have hit the panic button as a Nebraska basketball fan, and you hit it after Rutgers, and then you broke it during Ohio State. Last thought here on Coach Miles. We'll get to some more of his comments post-game in hour two. After we're done with Greg Smith around 5:40 or so, and room for you at 466-3776, 800-825-5867. I think, you know, if you're going to categorize what you're most disappointed with, I think the offense is right up there. It might take the top two spots, the offense. And then I think you're ticked off at the shot selection. Then I think there's a big clump of irritation where you don't get a defensive rebound, or teams go for season highs and offensive rebounds. And that irks Nebraskans, where you're just getting bumper card out of the way. And I'm not saying a guy like Borchardt's not slamming it down low. He's trying. Totally, he's trying. But you're just, as a group, as a team, you're just getting outworked. And I know I've been just yapping about it for an hour here, but that's where the anger is. It's not the fact that, okay, the Big Ten, you understand how good the Big Ten is. You know what you're supposed to do as kind of a league have, at least this year going into it. Mm-hmm. We'll talk with Coach McBride here coming up about how you win when you're supposed to win, right? I mean, dealing with expectations. We'll get into some of Super Bowl thoughts here. Colton, you covered a lot of basketball, man. You're still down at the university. I mean, what do you think coming into this year? I had a little doubt, and I get Miles and Moose and the whole contract dance. Mm-hmm. I get Moose saying, I'm giving you a year, bro. I got to prove it. I get it, and he was right about it.
Well, I think you hit it last segment. It's last season, we didn't expect
we
as the media didn't expect them to go win 22 games.
No. You thought they'd be okay.
Yeah. And you knew.
You just didn't know how good would there. Be.
Yeah. We didn't know if good would be great or good would be, well, you're eighth in the league and you're middle of the road. But coming into this season, you are just expecting someone, one of those seniors, to just take over. Mm-hmm. And
all of them chip
and then
in, right?
Whoever jumps out as the leader, the rest kind of just fill mm-hmm. in as you go. And you didn't know if that was going to be Palmer, was it Watson, was it Copeland, and there still really isn't a clear
leader. Got a guy in Glenn who's been there and he busts his butt and he's working hard. He's not getting out work. Glenn's always giving you effort, but what are you getting from Glenn verbally, right? What are you getting from Glenn verbally? And he can't all of a sudden turn into a guy that's pissed off and brings a chainsaw to the locker room. Okay? He's just quiet Glenn.
Yeah.
And you need someone that's loud, that's playing with that effort. Palmer, man, he dialed it back. He played an efficient game. He played a good game Saturday. Mm-hmm. But no one else is coming for the ride. And I think this team is symbolized in Roby. He is highlight, wow, big time, all this upside. When push comes to shove, you're going to be up and down. You're going to get 5 fouls. You're going to get 6 points. You're going to get 9 rebounds.
Yep.
And you're going to get questionable decision making. I mean, that's what they are. Coach McBride's on the way. Hour 2 with Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, are you staying out of that wind chill? How you doing?
No, I was downtown Kansas City walking around downtown. It was frozen.
Well, it's not frozen like where you left, my man.
Well, I know. Probably so. I just looked at my bell went off this morning on my alarm system, and the guy that came is the guy that's looking at checking our house out.
Sure.
And he looked, and I think they got about somewhere between 5 and 8 inches.
Mm.
We just made a clean escape is what we did.
Good for you, man. That's the best way to put it. We made a clean escape. I saw two of your favorite people this Friday night. Ken and Riley Jane say hello.
Good. Well, they're great people. Been really good friends of ours for a long time.
Yeah, they were.
Even when he wrote something bad. I just laugh at it.
Well, good. I mean, and that's the thing. That's a unique relationship, isn't it? With just folks covering the team that are doing their job, and if there's criticism, how did that work out? Were you able to sit down, and if you disagreed with something that was written, did you talk it out? Or
never talked about it.
Okay.
The only time we ever talked much about any of that is after I retired.
Okay.
You know, and half the stuff he said, I might have said something to him that I don't even remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, it was, and but all the guys that covered us, they were all of them good friends. I mean, some of them are still around, and you know, it was you know, a good bunch of people.
That's good to hear, man. That's good stuff. Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to start out with some basketball before we get to football. And I know basketball's basketball, but just the topic of winning and living up to expectations, right? You come in as a as a favorite, and you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, right? Otherwise, you underachieved.
Right.
And some of that's going on with Nebraska basketball right now. There's frustration because they're not doing as well as they're supposed to be doing. And from a culture standpoint of how you guys prepare day in and day out, how did you deal with expectations? You guys had high expectations yourself, but when it came to passing along to the kids just to go play ball and win football games, you're supposed to go beat Iowa State by 40, right? I mean, so how did you deal with the expectations as a favorite a lot of years?
Well, we treated every practice session. They'd never changed how they practiced. I mean, and that's one thing about, if I was going to talk about practice at all at Nebraska, our kids would play the worst team maybe in the league and practice like they were playing for the championship. And that's one of the things that Tom was able to do with Devaney over the years. And it just filtered down with the seniors and the players, what they expected of themselves and what they expected of the team. The one thing is that I think was part of our success was being able to kind of stay together. I think we had a few linebacker coaches after John Melton retired. And the one thing that happened is the old simple saying is be able to adjust on the move.
Okay.
And I don't know, you know, I watch a little basketball and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know that happens. I mean, I don't, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I think that you have to be sure as a coach to do. You have to be able to adjust, you know, what you're doing. And if you're practicing something new during the week and trying to trick somebody, we didn't care if they knew what we were doing and our base defense. We didn't care. We're just going to play better than you can block us. And I mean, it was that simple. And when players know exactly what they're doing and they do it over and over and over and over and the other team knows it, you're going to play pretty good anyway because you're going to play better than they can play it. And you know, so it's a hard thing. Basketball, you have to make adjustments faster, but you can't wait to halftime to decide, okay, we should be doing this. We should have been doing this and this and this. You know, and I know that happens with a lot of teams, high school teams especially. I hear it all the time. Mm-hmm. They can't adjust or they can't do this and that. And I haven't seen enough basketball. You know, I get the Big Ten Network, and so I get, you know, maybe I've seen maybe three games already this year, four games. And, you know, it's but I do think that there's a certain time if you start to change and act like you're a rocket scientist, the players don't, there'll be two or three guys pick it up good, and the other two or three guys will, they won't. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you just wasted your time in practice with the stuff that you do best. And that's what we did. We didn't mess around with, you know, a lot trying to trick our kids and put in something where they weren't comfortable with. So a lot of times it could be your practice changing for a game. Well, we don't want them to know what we did this last week, and that's our base. We want to change it. No, learn how to play it and beat them. You know, you know, that's not a big secret, but know how to adjust your defense to certain things they're doing, and that should be done before the season. So, but that's one of the things I think that happened with us that could happen in basketball. is that the fact that they've got to, or we had to adjust now.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to wait till halftime. We didn't do that. We got to get the kids in. If we ever got to a point where we didn't know what to do, we went right back to our basic defense, which they did know what to do, and then in the next 2 or 3 minutes straighten out. And one of the other defenses, how we adjust to it, and when they come off the field, we go over it right away with them, and that's the end of it. So it's it can be a can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not positive about what you're saying and act positive and be, you know, in that manner, the players will recognize it. You know, maybe he's not sure either, and you know, mm-hmm. this and that, it leads you with kind of a that feeling, and when you're a good football team or a good basketball team or baseball, whatever it is, you know, you have to understand that everything should be built off of your basic stuff, and not to be afraid to go back and say, hey, they're playing better than we are right now, let's go back to our base and what we really know the best and play them. And even if they know whatever they know, tough luck. We just play it better than they can attack it.
Nope. Comes down to confidence, right? You got to exude that as the coach, right?
Right. Well, there's no question about that. I mean, if you have a team that's up and down, most of the time it has to do with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a struggle in the parts there. Maybe some kids are sour because they're not playing enough, and basketball is a good place for that to happen. I mean, you see it happening in the NBA. You know, you see all that happening. And that's the thing. You have to have a coach that's, you know, doesn't take any of that guff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the way we do it, and this is the way we're going to do it. If you want to win, we'll play this the best we can, and we'll adjust to it on the move. And it won't be a secret when we do it. You'll know enough about basketball. Most of the kids played enough basketball to understand little changes.
Coach,
you can play the same defense, but you might do something different with one person or something like that.
Sure. No, it can kind of come down to what adjustments you make. Want to talk Super Bowl here, and Sunday we'll know if Brady and Belichick get another ring or if Ndamukong Suh and Zach Taylor get a championship. Rex Burkhead's also with the Patriots, so anxious to get your thoughts here. How do you think Sunday's going to shake out?
Well, one thing I'll tell you about New England: never say never. I mean, because
right.
they have a way of communicating with the players. Their players know that. Who they have, who they, you know, what their responsibilities are. That's his, and that goes back to why he's a good coach. Mm. They make adjustments in defenses, but it's maybe a linebacker playing 3 yards wider,
sure,
in one of the zones, and all that stuff's taken care of before, which they've all done in preseason, and they're aware of it, and all that stuff happens. And the one thing you're going to find out about him, if you're not a very intelligent person, you won't be playing at New England. So he gets a lot of guys you haven't really heard their name really sometimes. But they're players that haven't gotten the opportunity, that know what they're doing because they work at what they're teaching. And that's probably the best thing you can say about them is, you know, they will play and they'll know exactly what to do. They'll make a few mistakes. I know that when they had some trouble in the secondary, they had to put a new guy in there or something like that, and they got burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably you'll never see that guy do that again. I mean, he'll be playing, but it'll never happen again. And they all stand up for each other, you know, and so, you know, that's what happens in a big game like that. That's what's scary. And they usually don't panic. I've never seen them panic. So, you know, it's pretty straightforward, and you know what your job is. And like he says, do your job and you know, and that's the end of that tune.
What do you think? What do you think of Ndamukong Suh? What do you think Sue does Sunday?
Well, if he did what he did last week, they're in trouble.
He was great. He was great.
New England, yeah, New England will have some problems with both of those guys because when you know they're probably paying a lot of attention. You know, they're both tackles. They both play inside.
Mm-hmm.
And if they double team, if they double one of them have on pass and stuff, there's going to be one free. And that's where I think he's improved.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes, you know, he can step it up a level. I wonder if he hasn't been playing on an even keel and not, you know, every play means everything. And, you know, and last week is what he did. I mean, he was really extending himself and doing things that you could really be notice. So somebody gave him a little song and dance, you know, that you better get your feet moving, you know, because you're probably not, succeeding as much as we thought you would. And but he's a real deal.
He is, and Sue's raised his level. You've seen you've seen a lot of moments of it, but he can be great, and he is great. But can he be great all the time? I think you'll see four quarters of greatness from him on Sunday against New England, Coach. Go ahead.
One thing I did, I talked to him when he was a junior, and I said, I know I've talked to some people, pro scouts, you know, who are friends, and the one thing is at times he takes a nap. He'll play great, and then all of a sudden, you know, he'll take a time off. They'll be looking at that. They'll be looking at how your leadership on the sideline. They'll be looking at a lot of things. But if you take a time off a little bit, it's going to cost you a bunch of money. And so, you know, right now he's in a position where I think, you know, he realized here he is in California, and I mean, probably where he would like to be, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, stick up for everybody and go like heck.
I think he will. I got to ask, you got about a minute left. How did he respond when you said, hey, sometimes you take a nap? How did he react?
Well, I wasn't kidding. My eyeballs were right in his eyeballs.
No, I'm sure. I'm anxious to hear this.
I wasn't just being. I was. I attacked him.
Okay.
I mean, I went and told him, "Hey, listen. If you want to play, this is what you have to do. You don't have to listen to me, but I'm going to tell you something I do know." And I went on, you know, to talk about it. And the coach was in the room, and he was the only other one in the room, and that's the way it was. You know, and that year he played pretty darn good his senior year.
Well, he almost won the Heisman. Yeah.
Well, but I mean that's what he has to do. I think maybe he just wasn't happy in Miami.
Sure.
Sometimes players just don't want to be there, you know, and that's mm-hmm. the hard part about moving around so much.
Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we'll talk next week. And we'll be talking about a Patriots win or a Sue Super Bowl, one or the other.
I'm not picking.
I'm not. Okay. I know. You don't like picking the weather. I know. I'm not going to ask you for a prediction. I won't do that. But
just because the young quarterback,
uh-huh.
and I'm a sucker for being probably a little bit for the underdog, who they may not be, but I think they really are.
Sure.
But I'd like to see the Rams do well. I don't know if they win. I'd just like to see them do well.
I got you. Well, we'll talk Monday next week with the Super Bowl. Coach, thanks for the time today. This was fun.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. I love that story about his eyeball to eyeball with Sue. Sometimes you take a nap. Only Blackshirt McBride, man, can get away with that. That's awesome. And you saw the senior season from Ndamukong. Greg Smith's on the way, some recruiting.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Charlie McBride. We'll have that posted on the Hail Varsity Twitter handle and the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle and the full interview as well. But Coach McBride telling us how he kind of got in Sue's kitchen towards the end of his junior year, and pretty good. Eyes wide, face-to-face about nap-taking. Sometimes you take a nap from play to play. Coach McBride, that's pretty good insight. We say hi to Greg Smith, all over recruiting, and can follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV, and you read him with HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, how you been, man? Busy weekend for you. You've been awesome. You've been all over it. Not the news Nebraska fans wanted to hear today with Dylan Jordan. Let's start there. How did things shake out the way they did for TCU?
Yeah, you know, coming into the visit weekend here, it's kind of told to me that TCU was probably in the lead heading into the visit weekend that Dylan took with his mom this past weekend while Nebraska put their best foot forward. And he really liked the trip. I talked to him, had an interview up on HaleVarsity.com with him about him saying that, you know, Nebraska was a great place to be. He was impressed with the facilities, really liked the players on the team and the coaching staff. But TCU still won out here. And I think part of it had to do with the fact that he just had a really good relationship with a couple of assistants on that staff. His mom did as well. Felt pretty comfortable with him going down to Dallas-Fort Worth, and TCU won out.
Does that surprise you? And the reason I bring up the surprise question is just because of the vicinity, right? I mean, you got Pittsburgh, Kansas, all right? I mean, that's a kid Nebraska is supposed to get. Because of the vicinity, not that TCU's been a really good program the last several years, so they're no slouch to lose out to. But I don't know. I mean, what type of feedback have you gotten, or have you, from Nebraska fans about it? Because that's one that you're going to get. At least you hope you get if you're a Nebraska fan. Because I mean, it is just next door. It's part of your radius, man.
Yeah, I like the way you brought that up to us, saying, you know, what's the feedback from Nebraska fans? Because they're not thrilled about this one. Like, you know, sometimes when you lose that other guy, you kind of understand. But I think there's a couple of things to play. One, I think you're exactly right with Pittsburgh, Kansas being in the area. So you end up, especially when you have a kid out of Kansas, you think that Nebraska should have a really good shot at him, especially if they had been on him for a little bit. But it turns out that TCU was probably on him longer than Nebraska was. But also, I think there's misconception is probably the wrong word, but there's just a little bit of a strange feeling around someone picking a Big 12 school, knowing what defense is like out there. But of all of the Big 12 schools to pick for defense, it would be TCU and Gary Patterson. Like, I feel like what they do out there kind of goes completely under the radar. They, like you said, they do have a really good program. They play a good style of defense down there as well, an aggressive defense. So ultimately, Husker fans not happy. I understand the frustration. But it's tough to see a kid from the area go elsewhere.
Greg Smith's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. We're talking recruiting, the what and the why of Dylan Jordan off to TCU. So where does this leave Nebraska now? Give us some updates on the weekend and the week ahead. I mean, February's just around the corner here. Four spots open, three for now, maybe one for after spring, but give us the board, the Greg Smith big board, and where things sit with some of these prospects. Where's Nebraska at with some of the kids, and who's 1, 2, and 3 on the board right now?
Yeah, so I think you have to start it off with outside linebacker and Stephen Parker out of Dallas, Texas, Oak Cliff High School, who coincidentally, Scott Frost and Eric Canander were down in the high school again today to check on him and talk to his coach. And he did not take a visit this weekend, to my knowledge. I don't think he went anywhere, which is a good thing, considering his last visit was to Nebraska. He does have an official visit coming up this weekend to Kansas, so we'll see how that goes. I know he has a relationship prior with a coach that's on their staff. And I think the Texas Tech is still in the mix with him as well, even though he decommitted from that school. I think that they're still kind of in the mix there as well. Other than that, I think it's starting to get really thin as far as the big board, because it feels like just last week or a few days ago, we were talking about 10 or so guys for 3 or 4 spots. And that list is rapidly shrinking. As you know, I reported on the site earlier today that Matthew Polamalu, the cousin of Noah Pola-Gates, defensive tackle from Arizona, not looking like he's coming to Nebraska this weekend. He's not going to USC, which was the other school that was closely linked to him, but it looks like he's going to try to go to Kansas State, who just put in an offer out to him today. I think the thing to keep an eye on for the rest of the week is to see if Nebraska pass that can get any traction with Eugene Asante, who everybody was really happy with, Larry's younger brother, when he got his offer from Nebraska, but it didn't really seem to go anywhere. But I think Nebraska is going out to see him today, maybe try to change his mind into either visiting them this weekend or maybe even taking a midweek visit to check out what the Huskers have to offer.
Tell me a little bit more about Asante, who's in the mix with him. I loved me some Asante. That guy was awesome. He was such a good safety for Nebraska. The older brother, what's Eugene like?
Yeah, so he's a linebacker, and there's a little bit of position flexibility there in that I think in a 3-4 he would be more of an inside linebacker, maybe be able to pop outside a little bit. In a 4-3, he's more of an outside linebacker. I know that Florida State is a place that he took a visit to this past weekend, and he's also looking right now. He has North Carolina on the docket for this coming weekend. I think Nebraska will try to move him off of that. We'll see how that goes. But those are a couple of schools that are in the mix right now, and it appears that he's kind of wide open. But Florida State has made a push here late with some interest as they kind of have been scrambling to fill their class under Willie Taggart.
You know, and you say Florida State, North Carolina linebacker, and I think Nebraska fans are like, yes, please. Get me kids that can go play linebacker at Florida State. And then the number of people Mac Brown put into the freaking NFL when he was at North Carolina is insane. I mean,
yeah, we're going to see. I think that is going to be really interesting to track. I think there will be a little bit of crossover between what happens with North Carolina and Nebraska, just because I think they're going after a lot of the same tier, sure, like talent level of kids. Mm-hmm. And you know Matt can recruit. If he can do anything, you know he'll be able to recruit.
Well, and he recruits good players, man. I mean, he's always recruited talent, to be frank, above his coaching ability, right? I mean,
right.
Just let a dude go play ball and put him in the right spot, and it works out okay when you got Vince, right? Or you got Jamal
right.
Charles, or you got Arakpo.
Okay.
I mean, you know, hand it to Ricky, you know? I mean, it just, I get it. So are you feeling okay about where Nebraska's at then? You just laid out Asante. Also, Kansas State out of nowhere for Pullamau over SC in Nebraska. What's that about?
That's it's a strange one. So usually when a kid does not come out and say, hey, I've eliminated school X, it usually means that it came from the other side, right? So kind of
sure.
Reading in between the lines, it feels like both Nebraska and USC backed off of Pullamau for whatever reason. I've not been able to discern that reason just yet and uncover it. We'll see if I can make that happen. But when that happens, you know, you've got to start to pivot and look elsewhere, as he just didn't have a lot of options outside of that. But I think for a long time here, and I think rightfully so, it was kind of assumed that he would end up here in Lincoln with his cousin. They had openly talked about wanting to play together, and I know the family was really behind that setup as well, because they have another cousin here to play softball. So it just doesn't look like it's going to work out that way. But Kansas State came through with a late offer as they try to get their new program up and running with that new coaching staff.
That's just weird, where SC looks like the spot, and then there's Nebraska, and you settle on Kansas. Listen, man, K-State's a tremendous program. Grandpa just retired. I get that. But the hire they made is phenomenal. I mean, that dude can coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, this week, what are you looking at? What are you following? And what can folks expect on HaleVarsity.com and on at Greg Smith HV. What's the timeline look like between now and this weekend?
Yeah, I think this week is going to actually end up being really 2020 heavy. I think you'll see a lot of that. You've seen throughout the contact period that the coaching staff has really been getting after it on the road, making new offers to 2020 kids. But then also now we're coming up on the junior day, which will be this Saturday. We've got a running list, premium list up on HaleVarsity.com of that going. So I've been confirming names for a couple of weeks now, but I think that's what the big thing will be this week is Nebraska really wants to focus on that junior day because there's so many good prospects for 2020, especially within the 500-mile radius. We're going to be talking about that a lot over the next cycle. I think it's going to really get kicked off in a big way this weekend.
Give me a couple of names that you're excited about just from watching film that are 2020 prospects right now. Who are a couple of kids that You're on 2020. Nebraska's staff's on 2020. We're still wrapping up 19, my friend. So tell me who's kind of got your radar up.
Yeah, so the first guy, and we'll talk more about him going forward too, is Jackson Bratton, and a linebacker from Alabama. Family friends with Nebraska's quarterback commit, but he's currently committed to Alabama. So we'll see if Nebraska can move him off of that. Turner Corcoran, the four-star offensive lineman from Lawrence, is a guy definitely to watch out for, and he'll be in town this weekend for Junior Day. And I really can't go too far without mentioning the two in-state wide receivers, Xavier Betts and Xavier Watts from Omaha Burke and Bellevue West, respectively. And there's a whole host of guys, like linemen, Carson Lee from Colorado, offensive lineman, Nash Hutmaker, defensive lineman from South Dakota. Like, there's a lot of good talent to go around for the class of 2020. I know they're excited at North Stadium about it.
Last thought here on Nash, the kid out of South Dakota. I love the first name. But, I mean, Dakota kids, man, I mean, there's not been a lot of them, but when you've gotten them, they have been big-time difference makers or multi-year starters. I'm thinking of the Vedrals. Nebraska didn't get Ben Lieber, but he was at Kansas State. He was really, really good. Yeah, big Larry Jacobson. He's a South Dakota kid, and that's a long time ago, but you get my point with the Dakotas. But this Nash kid, man, he seems kind of like a throwback on the line, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely is. He's got a big time wrestling background as well. He's got a big-time winning streak going right now. There's an outside chance that he'll actually end up facing off against Bryce Benhart way down the road here, which will be super interesting to see if that can happen. But, yeah, that's the caliber of wrestler he is. He's really good, and he uses that to his advantage on that nose tackle position. And Nebraska's definitely hoping to land him sooner rather than later.
Greg, awesome info, man. Appreciate you for jumping on with this. You'll have a recruiting recon coming up Friday, and we will bother you again as this week moves forward. Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. It's where you follow him. Read him with HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, thanks for the time. We'll talk soon, bud.
Hey, thanks as always, man. You guys have a good week.
You too. There he is, Greg Smith. Good stuff. Good rundown. And some of the what's up with Nebraska recruiting, some of those names. We'll spend some time here on the NFL. More thoughts on Nebraska basketball. You want to join at Hale Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
It's good stuff from Greg Smith in recruiting. We'll get back into some Nebraska basketball. And I don't think all of you have jumped off the bandwagon. There's a few left. But I tell you what, you're looking for the exit because this thing's going down. That's your feel right now. If I'm wrong, tell me. That's fine. But right now, your interest level is waning. We are going to be down in the public market tomorrow, 4 to 6:45 for the Real Red Tip-Off Show. Want to see you down there. It is a huge game. Right? They're all big. But Saturday, did a lot to damage your hopes and dreams for Nebraska basketball. You can get back in the thick of it just like you got back in the thick of it when you went and won at Indiana. I am not putting your money nor mine on Nebraska tomorrow night. I tell you that right now. Colton, what do you got?
No.
You're staying the hell away.
Here's the thing. I've already made one bad bet this season.
Okay, which was?
I don't know if you've been following this on Twitter, but I said that if – now, I did my research.
Oh, this.
The Rutgers
thing. You got to run.
Yeah.
So lay this out.
Okay.
What did you do, and how did you get goaded into it?
So back in, like, October, obviously Rutgers is the running stock or laughing stock of the Big Ten.
Currently.
And I was like, I've made bets where I said I'll streak down O Street, and I've won all of them.
Right, but you would you? I mean, we're talking. I mean, remember Will Ferrell? It got cold outside.
Yeah, and that's what I tweeted. I think 2 weeks ago, maybe. And
if they lose to Rutgers, I'm running naked outside of O Street.
Well, basically, but I said if they win more than three conference games.
Rutgers. Which,
yeah.
Dude, they just won at Penn State.
They just won number
three.
So they're at three. They had not.
You're done.
They have not won more than three since they joined the Big Ten. Okay. And the last time they won more than three was in the Big East.
So if you were to get a Hale Varsity or ESPN running shorts, would you wear? Would you wear them? Because I mean, we can't, in good faith, let you streak down O Street naked.
Oh no, and I've done my research on that.
I mean,
too.
I'll bail you out, but there's.
I'm good with a warning if I've got boxers on. But
Yeah.
I mean, can live with that. But yeah, they're at 3, and I am getting harassed by the Rutgers fan base. Rightfully so.
There's not a lot of them.
No, but it's starting to catch fire, and people are noticing. And, you know.
There you go,
we'll
Colton.
See.
Yeah, not a good thing for
Same
Nebraska.
Same for Nebraska, though. I'm not going to put a lot of money on that.
Let's stay here and go to cut 6 real quick about that panic button. I am panicked for you if Rutgers gets to 4. Rutgers fans want to see some Pauly reenactments of you sprinting. And here is Coach Miles when asked Saturday night, and they're wrapping up their media session now. We'll have some more thoughts from Tim Miles tomorrow. But you have Borchardt that's going to start at the 5, Roby at the 4. And this is Miles on that panic button discussion we're having.
Even when I get to my kitchen at home, I'm going to hear the same things that you read on Twitter. You know what I mean? Nobody's happy. And so I want them to be upset, but I want them to hang in there with us because I believe in these guys and I think we can do it. So we're just going to try and we're going to get them to rally, right? Try and regroup here quick because nobody's going to feel like what I told them after the game. Nobody feels sorry for you. Wisconsin will not come in here and feel bad, right? They're going to come in here ready to slug it out, and we have to have the same mentality. So I understand why fans would, but at the same time, we've got a lot of equity that we built over the course of a season. It's the course of a full season, but, you know, a double and a triple bogey don't make anybody feel very good.
No, and that's the thing. I don't think the – This is kind of weird to separate. I think the Nebraska fans still really like this team. They like the players. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about the coach that they're sour on. Now, they'll get that sour out of their mouth if they beat Wisconsin and put a streak together. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of how it is with Nebraska basketball fans. Not all of you, but some of you. You can go which way the wind's blowing. You do. Mm-hmm. It's all right. I mean, you've had minimal success in centuries worth of effort. Okay. You're not going to invest too much. And some of you have, and you're heartbroken this year. And then you're making your call right now on the head coach. That's started already. Who's coming and who's Moose going to get? I mean, that's start. Every time they lose, that starts. But now after dropping 3 in a row. Mm-hmm. It's very real. Not necessarily much after Sparty, but you've seen enough offensive headache basketball that you're done there. More here from Miles, and this is, again, when things go south, when things go sour, this team's mentality, man, and you got to make it be better as the head coach.
I think it's just when things don't go well, really. When we give up 4 straight threes. You know, and then, you know, I think one of those moments, for instance, we got it back down to 7 with 4.5 to go, and the shot clock's all the way down, and they hit the back of the rim, go straight up, falls through right at the end of the shot clock. We go down, miss a bonus. You know, it's just, you know, those things, when they happen, like in couples like that, when you can't get out of your own way, you know, I think everybody just feels like, ugh, you know, what's going on?
This from Brian Rosenthal on Twitter. Miles commenting on frustration. Anytime you start ruminating all that frustration, it looks like you're not playing hard because you aren't. I don't think that they understand that. I don't think they understand that until they watch it and see it. We have to get past that. We have to stay positive when stuff goes wrong. Well, good. I hope you stay positive when stuff goes wrong. Because what do you do next is the question, and folks are wanting to see. And you know what kind of atmosphere Saturday was. It went from like nervous to worse. It was worse than the Penn State atmosphere because you knew it was like a must win. The players felt that. The fans were oozing it, and the head coach knew it. It is what it is. You just know that you got to get it done and make up for the Rutgers misstep. Well, you didn't. So everyone's nervous. And unfortunately, the most nervous people are the ones with the ball in their hand. And you just got to just shake the old Etch-a-Sketch. Clear it out. Here is Miles on where you do go next as a team.
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, there's nothing more sickening for a coach to empty your home arena. And, you know, I hear the groans. God, I'm groaning, you know. And it's just sickening. Like, it just makes me physically, you know, sick. But you feel like, okay, you know, I've considered, you know, we're not playing checkers. I mean, we're trying to strategically plan on what's going right. But at the end of the day, I think we have a strong relationship with our guys, and we need to go out there and get them in a good place and get them past some of the things. It's like tonight when we got the lead, there's, you know, 3 out of 4 possessions, one guy has 3 straight turnovers. 2 of them turn into immediate baskets, and we just got to get out of our own way. I've said that how many times?
A lot. Well, you get a chance and another opportunity to get out of your own way. Tomorrow night, we'll wind down a Monday. Reminder to you, something's got to stop that motion. It's going to be a windshield or a seatbelt. Buckle up. Click it or ticket. Seatbelt prevents excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. It applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. A quick timeout, back with a final thought or two on a Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, miss any part of the show. Good stuff from Charlie McBride, from Jay Moore, from Greg Smith. As it is Super Bowl week, we'll be checking in with some Huskers that won championships. One that won one with the Rams. One that won one with the Patriots. Two with the Patriots, actually. Russ Hochstein will be with us this week. We're efforting Rick Pizzo tomorrow. We're going to be down at the Public Market. Mitch Sherman will be with us, whether they want to or not. Derek Peterson and Jacob Bedilla will join the show tomorrow as we have an extended version of it, and maybe another special guest as we're on the road tomorrow, 4 to 6, 40-ish or so, down to the Public Market for Real Red Tip-Off, a Hail Varsity Roadshow Tuesday. Okay, so do you still hit the sellout tomorrow? Is PBA still sold out tomorrow, Colton? It may be like on paper, but what's the crowd level like?
Tuesday night. I mean,
it's Wisconsin, man.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Everybody hates Wisconsin.
I think they still probably pull 13, 14.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. Sell out. I mean, there'll be some empty seats in there.
Yeah.
But on paper, probably.
Yeah. So it was interesting this weekend with the Big Ten where Purdue found a way to get Sparty by 10.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota and Iowa, that was a good ball game back and forth. Iowa's quality club. Minnesota's been good at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at what Nebraska has in front of them, and that's a road trip to Purdue, Iowa, coming to town, and another roadie to Sparty. You have Maryland hosting Northwestern. Maryland's kind of come back down to earth. The line right now for Nebraska is -1. So they are favored by a point somehow, some way, even without Cope. Michigan plays tomorrow night. They are a -10 over Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You have more games in the Big Ten. Rutgers, Indiana. You watch Indiana go get stung at Rutgers, so Colton Stone has to live up to his wager about Rutgers not winning more than 4 conference games.
Yeah. Well, more than 3.
Well, they're at 3 now.
Yeah.
So you need them to nosedive.
Which is Rutgers.
What's up with Illinois crushing Maryland like they did?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Illinois, I think, can play ball.
Was
they
it
just
the,
suck most
was
of
it the
time.
Atmosphere, maybe?
I don't know.
Neutral site?
Purdue, how do they handle success? They've jumped all the way to 17th in the country. They get to go to for Penn State on Thursday. And you got more Friday night games, man. You got Michigan at Iowa Friday night and Maryland at Wisconsin. I don't get Friday night hoops that the Big Ten's doing. It makes less sense than their Friday night football.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. Let's get a couple pairs of tickets away here to the Russ's Food and Wine Experience. Going to be at Embassy Suites February 22nd from 5 to 8. These are awesome, man. Food and wine, is the way to go, and it's even better when someone's taking care of you. So caller 8 and 9 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, caller 8, caller 9. A pair of tickets to see the Russ's Food and Wine Experience, gourmet food, tremendous wine. Get in on the 800 line as well, 1-800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 8 and 9, Colton will take care of you with this Russ's Wine and Food Extravaganza. Going to be down at the Embassy Suites. That is an awesome time. We'll talk to you tomorrow down in the rail yard. Thanks to Colton Stone. Chris Schmidt back at you tomorrow.